Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
You're listening to Used Wigs Radio, and this is Mike Birbiglia backstage.
Hello?
Hi, this is Jeff Lyons at UsedWigsRadio.com. May I speak with Mike, please?
Hey, this is Mike.
Mike, how are you?
I'm good. Let me impress you by name-dropping right out of the gate.
Wow, I like that.
I'm walking down the street with comedian Eugene Merman.
Eugene Merman?
Yeah.
I love Eugene Merman. I love his website where he has where he does all the children's voices with his little...
That's right.
Yeah.
It's that very Eugene Merman who I lunched with moments ago.
You are an inveterate name dropper, Mike. It seems every time we check you out on the web, you're always talking about bottles being thrown at you by political pundits.
Oh, yeah, the Chris Matthews. Yeah.
So let's try to get through the interview with only about 10 name drops. How about that?
Oh, I'm sounding good. I also have a tooth in my mouth, which is very disrespectful on my part.
That's okay. I have.
Are we taping right now? This is actually not. This is the Used Wigs Radio, which is an awesome podcast in Philadelphia.
Yeah, we're taping right now, but I swear we won't put any of this on the air.
No, use this. This is gold.
All right, we'll use.
This is it.
If
you don't know this is it, you don't get it, man.
Do you know how many times people tell me that? It really hurts.
That's right. Hold on one second. I
sure.
totally cut you off. I'm gonna put you on mute for a second. I'm gonna put a headset on, like an earpiece.
Awesome.
And is that okay with you?
That's great. Thank you.
I'm recording this. Is that okay?
I'm recording it, too, so...
I'm just kidding. I'm not recording it. Hold on one second.
Darn.
Okay, I am back.
You're back.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. It's a little, in and out, but I think we'll be fine.
Oh, okay. It's kind of insane. I'm, in Midtown, 41st in Madison.
Okay.
And I apologize. It's just... kind of a crazy week.
Well, you're getting ready to come to Philly, right? And kick off your show at the Zellerbach Theater on Friday for your upcoming off-Broadway show, Sleepwalk With Me, correct?
That's absolutely right. And I requested this interview, actually. Did you know that?
I did. We got a lovely interview from your handlers, your team of handlers, and they said you requested
right.
that. And we're very honored because, as you know, at Used Wigs, we're big fans. And
you know how I became fans of yours is that I Google myself.
Oh.
And I'm a self-Googler. And
that's called ego surfing.
That's right.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not, though. Sometimes it's the opposite. Last year I did a show and someone wrote on their blog that I was pudgy and awkward.
I hate that.
And I got that as a Google alert. Just bam, you're awkward. I was like, thanks for the heads up, Google. Not feeling great about myself to begin with.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have a huge weight problem, but I am the guy who could really put the brakes on an orgy. I'd be like, is he invited? Why is he eating a stuffed crust pizza? That is not sexy at all. But, yeah, I actually had one the other day. I did a Chicago on the tour, and my brother Joe emailed me a posting on Craigslist that said tickets available. Because what happened was the show sold out, but then the Cubs ended up in the playoffs
right.
the same night.
Oh,
so then people were trying to unload tickets. And so this guy was trying to sell his tickets, and he goes, tickets to see the hottest comedian in America. And then in parentheses it says, not his looks.
Oh.
his popularity.
Right, right.
And so it was just very important to make that distinction so that I would feel bad about myself.
It sounds pretty crushing. I mean, it's on one hand, it's good. I mean, you based on your popularity, you are hot, but on your looks, I would say still
not
hot.
So much.
Like, nah, you know.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I mean,
you know, you're coming to Philly, so we have a lower standard of beauty, so I think you're going to do well here.
Oh, I didn't realize the standards are lower. That's fantastic. You lowered the bar? That's phenomenal.
Well, you know, we're close to New York where the bar is high, and we like to just lower it a little bit so we're more approachable so that people like you and other entertainers on their tours won't, like, skip Philadelphia. They'll realize, hey, you know what, they're nice people. They're not so involved with looks or class or decorum. Maybe they'll stop in and see us.
Well, that's fantastic. I appreciate that. And so just to get back from my digression.
Sure.
I was Googling myself. I discovered myself on Used Wigs Radio and from our interview. And I just thought, you know, you guys had emailed me originally to do the interview. And I just thought, you know, a bunch of kids.
Right.
You know, running around the schoolyard making a podcast. And
you're not far off.
Surely it's not anything good or interesting or even entertaining. And then I listened to it. And I'm like, this is fantastic. I mean, this is phenomenal. It, not only is it funny, but it's interesting, and they have good taste in music and comedy, and I was very impressed.
Well, thank
I was just like, I want to get in on the ground floor of the Used Wigs franchise.
Well, that's awesome because we have, and I swear it's not a pyramid scheme. You can buy in to the Used Wigs. No, I'm kidding. We have absolutely nothing you can buy into. But
I was all ears, by the way.
Awesome.
When you said that. I was in. I had my credit card out.
Oh, wow. I will talk to you later about Amway, though. That's something I am very, very interested about, Amway and Amway
Fantastic.
Products.
Whatever Used Wigs wants to do, Mike Raviglia wants to do.
Hey, when you come down to Philly, will you be taking the A-Team van or will you be taking your giant tour bus?
The answer is actually neither. We docked the A-Team van in Providence. And
okay.
So that's where my brother Joe lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't really park something that has like a 10-foot clearance in New York
right.
City without getting into kind of truck territory, truck
right.
parking, which is outrageous.
I asked because one of my favorite stories I heard when you went to, I believe, a festival with either Coachella or Bonnaroo, you were really excited. You rented, like, I believe, an RV or a giant bus so you could kind of create a good party vibe and hang out with everybody. And,
sure.
How'd that
go
for you?
Didn't go well. I had a good lead-in question. I thought that, because I'd done Bonnaroo a few times,
right.
and I'd always ended up being kind of miserable. And I always went in with high expectations, like, you know, this is going to be great, rock and roll, living the life. And then it rains, it's hot and sweaty. I end up kind of in this kind of Vietnam feeling scenario where there's, I don't know where I am. I'm like a little drunk or high, and I'm frustrated. And as I say on Two Drink Mike, I'm the least fun person to smoke pot with because no one wants to hang out with a guy who ends every sentence with, "Do you guys hate me?" And which is precisely the person I am, and I'm not proud of that. It's just what I am. But this year, I was like, you know what? I'm going to shore up all of the issues that make Bonnaroo an unpleasant experience or have made it an unpleasant experience at points, and I'm gonna get myself a tour bus, and thus the party will come to me.
Of course.
The party that is Bonnaroo will come to me in my, like, air-conditioned, comfortable, clean bus that I can sleep in.
Right.
And I shared it with a few, I shared the cost and everything with a few other comedians, you know, I think it's Brian Posehn and John Mulaney and Janine Garofalo and maybe a few other people. And, like, I was like, this is going to change everything. And
sure.
then what ended up happening was I ended up sleeping on the bus and no one hung out on the bus except me. I mean, it was like, It was like the bus was kryptonite, and it was the least cool place to be somehow. And
do you think the other comedians like Brian, maybe that was their intent, like how to keep you out of all the fun? Be like, yo, like we're gonna just get a big truck and van. You're gonna hang out. We're gonna have a great time. You wait here, and we're gonna come back and bring all the musicians and the weed, and it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, I think there's some of that going on. There's some conspiring to make me feel the same, the exact same way I felt in eighth grade. Of course not. It's just one of these things where, like this year, there wasn't kind of rain, and it was actually pretty nice out, and there was a lot of great bands, and it was just, So anyway, it was like the ultimate rock star plan gone awry.
But you learned. It's a lesson learned, Mike.
It is a lesson learned, and that's all we can ask for.
Now, Sleepwalk With Me is a one-man show. That's how it's built.
Right.
How is that different from your typical stand-up act? What can we expect?
Very complicated. I mean, the stand-up comedy, for starters, is a one-man show. So
yeah, kind of what I was thinking. You don't have a horn section.
Guess who just got mind fucked? You. It hurts. What does the FCC regulate with these podcasts?
Only 3 F bombs a podcast, so we're down to 2 more.
The show is it's not different from my stand up in the sense that it's very funny. It's me talking. It's me telling stories. In some ways, it's along the lines of my last album, My Secret Public Journal Live, which was all stories.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is that there is one story about sleepwalking that guides us through the entire night.
Oh, okay.
So in other words, I start off, I say, we're going to tell you a story tonight, and it's true, and then I proceed to tell the story, but along the way I digress into other stories that kind of, the story that happens is so outlandish.
You're right.
That it's important for the audience to get to know me so that by the time I tell the story that's so outlandish, that they believe me and that they're on board and they understand, like, you know, if you just told this story to someone cold, they'd be like, yeah, come on, you're just doing this as a bit, you know, this isn't true. Or even some part of them would think that, even if they didn't say it outright. And so, wouldn't it be great if they threw me in the garbage truck in the middle of the interview and all you heard was the audio of my bones crushing?
It would be our best podcast, a Death Caught Live podcast would be nice for us.
It would so put used wigs on the map outside of the Philadelphia, southern New Jersey region.
Some counties of North Jersey too. Let's not forget that.
Okay, sorry. So anyway, the whole thing is kind of to get to this one story at the end, and it has, the show has something of an arc to it. You know, I've been working with a very respected theater director in New York, and what's kind of exciting is that Nathan Lane is producing and presenting the show off Broadway, and
I saw that you had a big presented by Nathan Lane headlining one of your many websites. That's very nice.
One of my many websites, yes.
Yeah, I think and 10 last count websites, web presence.
Yeah, I have 97 websites, and they all are very informative and hilarious.
They certainly are.
So that's sort of the difference. I believe it to be the funniest show that I've done, and sometimes people come out of it and they're like that was like a play.
There,
and I'm like, okay. And then some people come out and they go, that was not a play, but it was very funny.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, that sounds good too. I'm okay with that. So the show doesn't purport to be anything more than it is, but some people experience it in a way that is beyond, let's say, an hour and a half long stand-up.
I got you.
And then, That trucker agrees with me. Huh?
Are you providing wacky sound effects to your own interview? Are you going to do a...
You think that I'm more skilled than I am.
Well, I just want people to make sure that when they hear sleepwalking, which sounds like a pretty mundane topic, I want them to know that with you, it is really a death-defying tale every time you have one of these...
Well, there's one incident that actually is death-defying, and that's kind of the story that I build to.
Well, we're not going to mention that. We're going to let everybody, when they come see you, they're going to hear that, and they're going to be amazed, as I was. And yeah, I was just happy you made it through.
Thank you very much.
Now, here's a question. I realize you mentioned earlier your brother travels with you a lot, and I was wondering, on Broadway, you have most big Broadway productions have understudies. Let's say you became ill, would your brother be able to go up and do the whole show? And really, without the audience, you know, missing out.
Well, you win the prize for the first person to ever ask that question.
Yes.
And, no, I don't. I don't suppose anyone's going to... I mean, the thing about Joe is that he's an excellent writer, but he doesn't really have a lot of interest in performing.
Right. Well, didn't you once call him America's, what would you call it? God, I can't remember, but it was the perfect description.
America's guest.
America's guest. There you go. That
I would call him America's
relay.
Guest because he's always like, might I tag along? You know, he's always kind of inviting himself to things. And so you have to, you know, I point this out on Secret Journal Live. My last album is that he's not... really a great entourage member. Like, I think that was, being America's Guest is fine if you'd be like, you the man, Mike, or like, this guy's a genius, you know, but he's always like, I don't know what Dad would think about this, and like, do you have any more shrimp? You know, that kind of thing.
Well, it's nice.
Yeah, it's America's Guest, but yeah, Joe, you know, collaborates with me, and he's a great guy, and so, no, I don't know that there will be an understudy, but I hope so. That would be great if I could just sit home.
Well, yeah, it would be nice. They could cast someone who looks just like you to go up there, like some probably, you know, theater-trained thespian to go up there, just if need be. We're not wishing you any sort of, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Hey, another question. You know, I have a couple. This is an interview, sure.
Okay, sure, yeah.
One of them
question shows.
Yeah,
you're one of those mainstream... media outlets that ask questions and then follow-up questions.
I'm going to pepper you with questions into a corner. You know, every good comic, of course, has defense against hecklers, but how do you handle, like, you have very loyal, energetic fans, and I know many comedians like Jim Gaffigan, Brian Regan will have people yell out the bits they want to hear and some of the punchlines. Like, that's got to be a bit disconcerting. How do you handle that?
I would say that the trouble I have is mostly with people who haven't seen my show, who have been kind of dragged along by people who have seen my show.
Right.
And they kind of don't get that, you know, because you've seen my show. It's kind of conversational.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, sometimes it doesn't feel like a show. it's just like me talking, and that's kind of the fun of it. I'd venture to say that it's a little bit different from other shows in that sense, and if I could compliment myself, or at least say that that's what I prefer.
That's a very apt description.
And so, yeah, and sometimes people don't get that. And they think that I'm kind of floundering and that I don't get it, like that I don't get what I'm doing. And so then they're like, I got to tell him to get to it. You know what I mean?
We want Wiffle Ball Tony and you're,
They'll kind of be like, you know, all right, out with it. You know what I mean? I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to get to it.
Right.
You know, or I'll be digressing in the middle of the story. And then they'll be like, so you're at the golf club. You know, and I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm going to get to it. Or they'll be like, you know, they'll think that I'm talking to them.
Right.
And they'll be like, they'll respond. They'll be like, yeah, she does that, you know, pointing to the person next to them. And I'm like, okay, that's helpful input, but I'm gonna take over from here, and yeah. I've got a lot of things prepared, and everybody just sit tight, don't worry about me. Sometimes I say, if anyone's worried about the show at this point, don't worry, I will stick the landing, because I enjoy that aspect of gymnastics very much, you know, and you see a girl, you know, fall on the ground and, you know, kind of stumble all over the place, but then at the end of it, she kind of stands upright and puts her hands in the air, and everyone's like, oh, you know, she's got good posture, you know, that's positive. And,
so you guarantee,
and so I,
you guarantee you'll always stick your landing.
That's what I tell people, I actually do stick this landing with this story, which you may have seen the story before in other forms.
Mm-hmm.
I actually told the story on a competing radio show called This American Life.
I've heard that Glass fellow. Yes, I've heard of him.
So this story is a good way to stick the landing, because it's just so crazy that you, if at that point you believe me and understand sort of what I'm like, and that I have no motivation to lie, then it actually is like an outrageous story to hear.
We'll all be the judge of that when we go there. And we'll discuss whether Mike was actually just full of BS, or that he was actually being truthful.
Yeah, we're gonna do a follow up interview.
Yeah, I think we should. I think we should probably just
do a backstage follow up interview.
we'll come with our giant cassette recorder if you have us, and we'll.
Fantastic. You know, here's what we should do.
Okay.
We should. Okay. You know how Eric Lack was wrote these biographies about Woody Allen.
Yes.
You know, he's a very good writer. Wrote these great books. We should just do a series of Used Wigs interviews and eventually compile them into a biography.
I would like that, because I have like a pipe and a tweed jacket, and I'd like to kind of sit down with you in kind of a setting like that. I think that would probably
be kind of a podcastography.
That would be a first, you know what I mean? We'd be a YouTube sensation. Hey, Mike, can I not a personal question, but one of my favorite bits, and I think it was the crux of your what I should have said was nothing, was you basically getting engaged without actually popping the question. Did you eventually?
Yeah, that's accurate.
Did you eventually marry the woman you were who was at the heart of that story?
Well, that would be giving away the show.
Oh, jeez, I didn't know that.
That's part of the show.
All right, well, this is another reason to come see you live.
Yeah.
I was just, you left us hanging with that, you know, with the, during your hilarious show, what I should have said was nothing. And, there are many people who wanted the answer, so.
Yeah, well, deal with it.
I will, I'll deal with it. Hey, I got a couple of.
Deal with it at the Zellerback.
Zellerback, this Friday, the 10th. And then you're going to be starting.
Which is, by the way, a beautiful theater that I performed at many years ago.
You did.
I'm going to get in a cab right now.
Okay.
And I apologize for that, but I think it actually fits the tenor of the interview.
Yeah, it helps us get the travelogue feel of you going about New York City.
The Zellerback, I performed, it was myself and the Upright Citizens Brigade Touring Company, which featured Horatio Sands.
Awesome.
Many years ago.
Sure.
That's been 4 or 5 years ago, but man, that's, it's on the UPenn campus, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place to see comedy.
Do you ever, you went to Georgetown, correct?
I did.
Do you ever head back there and perform at your alma mater?
I do. I've probably performed at Georgetown more than any single location. I've done their orientation 6-7 times. And
you just show up a lot of times unannounced and like, hey, I'm back, and talking to like freshman girls and kind of stuff like that.
I don't think that if I showed up unannounced that anyone would have any idea who I was.
Mike,
so I don't think that wouldn't be effective. It's not I'm not like Martin Short or something where I have some kind of absurd recognizability. I'm just,
I like that you pull out Martin Short as the recognizable celebrity.
Yeah, I don't know. Billy Crystal, Robin Williams, or any of that group. My cab driver is eliciting many honks.
Yeah, he's just trying to get you where you need to be. Hey,
yeah.
Mike, do you have a lot of, like, good comic friends, or are you all basically, like, just too competitive and miserable to forge a real friendship?
No, I do have comedian friends. I just had lunch with Eugene Mirman, as I mentioned.
That just seemed like a setup, like a publicity setup to me, that you would
be Eugene. I told him that
in
the middle of lunch. You know, I'm going to use you for this interview I'm about to do, and I'm going to make it seem like I'm very popular and have a lot of comedian friends. But the truth is, Eugene, by the way, just had a very successful festival of his own name in New York. It was called the Eugene Mirman Festival.
Yeah, I read about it, I believe, on BrooklynVegan.com, and I'm a big fan of Eugene's and the people involved. So.
Yeah, I'm friends with a lot of
well, that's good. Normally I just hear about, you guys are a competitive bunch, and you know, a lot of times you're just not the happiest people, but I see that that's different with you, and that's good, Mike.
maybe you're projecting that. I don't know anything about that.
Well, I hate everyone, that's true, so maybe I
no, I of course there are people who are competitive and that kind of thing.
I have another odd question, but you know, many comedians now are hosting primetime game shows, which is, well, I think, probably the trajectory most comedians would like to follow. What would you...
The only one I can think of is Howie Mandel.
Yeah, Bob Saget just had one, Howie Mandel. Yeah, so, you know, there's quite a few. Would you have any interest in hosting a game show, or do you think you'd be skilled at it?
No, but I bet they'll use his audio when I do.
Nice. Mike, like I said earlier, you have a huge web presence besides your burbigs.com and all the other T-shirt sites and MySpace. I noticed your MySpace friends, 50,000 MySpace friends, but your Facebook friends...
Yeah, we do an annual reunion. we meet in the state of West Virginia, and we just party all weekend.
Right. And do you allow any of your only 2,700 Facebook friends to go, or that's a totally different thing?
That's a very intimate relationship that I have with them. Those are people I consider myself married to.
Oh, okay. I didn't even look. Did you put the married to link on your Facebook page? And Mike, I want to leave you with one or two questions. First, what's a good day for Mike Birbiglia?
That's a really good question. I think a really good day is when... I go for a walk in Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
I watch Hardball with my wife.
The TV show Hardball.
Hardball.
There's a porn called Hardball, too. I just wanted to make sure you were talking about the TV show.
I'm a political junkie, so I would watch Hardball. And maybe we go to a film of some kind.
Okay, so it's just a leisurely day away from the normal grind of providing the funnies, correct?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate, yeah.
Well, Mike, we have about 10 people from the Used Wigs team coming to your show on Friday. We're very excited. And
I can't wait. I'll see you guys there. Maybe we could do a group interview.
That would be cool. Maybe we'll bring all our recording gear, like I said, cassette recorders, 8-tracks.
What we should do? We should set up like a fake press conference where all of you guys are shouting questions at me.
I would love it. Oh, we will.
And like kind of like an old fashioned press conference, and
I'll have a fedora.
Everyone wear old timey clothes, and then it'll be like George Bush. I'll keep calling on the same person. I don't actually want to get questions from certain people, and I won't take follow up. Everyone will shout follow-ups, but I won't respond to them.
Are you setting me up because we're going to be the only 10 people there in fedoras and old-timey gear, and you're just going to ignore us? And we'll be like, hey, we're the press over here. And you'll be
no, I'm totally into it.
Okay.
I will not stand you up on that concept.
Okay. Well, we will see you definitely this Friday at University of Pennsylvania.
You know what else? We're at University of Pennsylvania, but also one last thing for the listeners. If anyone has any sleepwalking or sleep-related stories,
okay,
we are videoing them for a YouTube project. My friend Ed is collecting a few hundred of these, and they're great stories, and we have them on, you know, kind of like intro, cool intro and outro, musical intro and outro, and so people have stories, we'd love to video you after the show.
Just go to www.burbigs.com, and then they can do it.
People can also, they can email us at sleepwalk@burbigs.com with their story, or just come to the show, and you'll see us. We'll have like a green screen up and video camera and lights, and we'll be videoing people.
That sounds fantastic. Just yet another draw to come to the show in Philadelphia and in New York, starting on the 17th, I believe, at Bleecker Street Theater.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, thank you very much for talking with us, Mike, and be safe in New York, and we will see you on Friday.
Okay, can't wait to Google myself and find this.
All right, bye. Take care, Mike.
Take care. Bye.